नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय फ्रॉम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट नंबर वन टू टेक्स्ट नंबर एट रीडिंग टेक्स्ट वन श्रीराजोवाच मन्वन्तराणि श्रीराजोवाच मन्वन्तराणि सर्वाणि तव्योक्तानि श्रुतानि मे वीर्याण्यनन्तवीर्यस्य हरिस्तत्र कृतानि च ट्रान्सलेशन् King Parikshit said, My Lord Sukhdev Goswami, you have elaborately described all the periods of the various Manus and within those periods the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has unlimited potency. I am fortunate to have heard all of this from you. There's no puppet, so we'll chant the next verses. यो असौ सत्यव्रतो नाम राजर्षि द्रविडदेश्वर ज्ञानं यो तिलकल्पान्ते लेभे पुरुष सेवया सो वे विवसतः पुत्रो मनुर आसीद् इति श्रुतं त्वसस्तस्य श्रुतः प्रोक्ता इक्ष्वाकु प्रमुखान् नृपः सत्यव्रत द सेंटली किंग ऑफ द्रविड देश हु रिसीव्ड स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज एट द एंड ऑफ द लास्ट मिलेनियम बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ सुप्रीम लेटर बिकेम वैवस्वत मनु The son of Vivasvan, in the next Manvantara, I have received this knowledge from you. I also understand that such kings as Ikshvaku were his sons, as you have already explained.
Tesham vamsham pritak brahman vamshanucharitani cha kirtayasva mahabhaga nityam shushrutam hinaha.
O greatly fortunate Sukhdev Goswami, O great Brahmana, kindly describe to us separately the dynasties and characteristics of those kings, for we are always eager to hear such topics from you. Text 5.
Ye bhuta ye bhavishyascha bhavante adyadanscha cha teshamna punya kirtinam sarvesham vadakikraman.
Kindly tell us about the abilities of all the celebrated kings born in the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu, including those who have already passed, those who may appear in the future, and those who exist at present.
Shri Suta Uvacha Evam Parikshita Rajna Sadasi Brahmavadinam Prishta Provacha Bhagavan Chokaha Paramadharma Vit.
Suta Goswami said, when Sukhdev Goswami, the greatest known of religious principles, was thus requested by Maharaj Parikshit in the assembly of all scholars learned in Vedic knowledge. He then proceeded to speak.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Shruyatam Manavo Vamsha Prachuryena Parantapa Nashakyate Vistarato Vaktum Varsha Shatairapi.
Sukhdev Goswami continued, O King, subduer of your enemies, now hear from me in great detail about the dynasty of Manu. I shall explain as much as possible, although one could not say everything about it, even in hundreds of years. Text 8.
Paraveresham bhutanam atmavah purushah parah sa evasid idam vishvam kalpante anya na kinchana.
The transcendental supreme person, the super soul of all living entities, who are in different statuses of life, high and low, existed at the end of millennium. When neither this manifested cosmos nor anything else but him existed.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Taking the proper position from which to describe the dynasty of Manu, Sukhdev Goswami begins by saying that when the entire world is inundated, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists and nothing else. Sukhdev Goswami will now describe how the Lord creates other things, one after another. I'd like to have blessings and permission from the senior Vaishnavas so that I can make an attempt to glorify Shri Krishna and his pure devotional service. There was a devotee named Haridas Das. In the late 18s and 90s, his goal of life was to find out the different literatures of Goswamis that were lost. He found all the works of Sanatan Goswami, but only one work, Krishna Lila Stava, was not found out. Haridas was in despair. Disappointed, he sat on the banks of a river, Ganges, and there he was crying loudly, praying to Sanatan Goswami, "Oh Prabhu Sanatan, please help." And to his amazement, there was a bunch of papers that were floating by, and he picked them up, and that was Krishna Lila Stava. And in that Krishna Lila Stava, the glorification, it is actually compilation of different prayers of Sanatana Goswami. He offers obeisances to Lord Krishna in different forms. So one of his obeisances to Lord Krishna is in the form of Bhagavatam. And there he prays, Sarva Shastra Abdhipiyushah Sarva Vaidai Kasatphala Sarva Siddhanta Ratanadhya Sarva Lokai Kadrikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Shriman Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dhanto Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pathaya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute Madeka Bandho Matsangi Manguro Man Mahadhana Madanistaraga Madabhagya Madanando Namostute Asadhu Sadhu Tadain Ati Nichicho Taraka These beautiful prayers, they plea Srimad Bhagavatam for ultimate shelter and protection, for the giver of auspicious qualities, and the ultimate goal of a devotee who aspires for pure devotional service. Today, although it's a very auspicious occasion of the starting of 9th canto, I beg apologies to all the Vaishnavas that they have to listen to me. The 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is titled as Liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam has various topics which are mentioned in the 2nd canto. Atra sargo visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utayaha Manvantare Ishanukathanam Nirodha Muktirashrayaha. Once Shruti Kirti Prabhu entered the room of Prabhupada. At that time he saw that Prabhupada with great relish was reading his own books. He was reading Bhagavad Gita. And that time when he entered, he told Shruti Kirti Prabhu with great delight, he said that, "You just read this one book attentively and you shall become Krishna conscious." Shruti Kirti Prabhu paid obeisances again. He did his work and went out. Another night, again Shruti Kirti Prabhu entered and he was paid obeisances. That time he saw Prabhupada reading Nectar of Devotion. And over there, he again saw Prabhupada very delightful and very blissfully reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion. At that time, he again told Shruti Kirti Prabhu, "You just read this one book attentively and you will attain Krishna consciousness." So, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and reading all other books of Srila Prabhupada will give us the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. But many times while going through the various chapters and various incidences, just as this chapter, so many names will be mentioned in future. They're just names and dynasties. What is exactly the aim of these names? So when we read,
the second canto, 10th chapter, which is named as Srimad Bhagavatam, the answer to all questions. Shukdev Goswami gives, before he's going to explain in detail that what is there in Srimad Bhagavatam and how he is preparing you for the ultimate goal. Just like all the trains, if they are destined to go to a particular destination, they'll go through various routes. And a person who is in a particular route, if he is there in the another route, he'll wonder that the whole circumstance is different. How on earth am I going to go to the same destination? But he just has to have faith. Faith on the train, faith on the driver that he will take him to the ultimate destination. Similarly, all these topics which complement the ultimate topic, the Samam Bonam, the 10th canto, they help you to go towards the ultimate destination and they will take you. It is not that anything is mentioned without any purpose. Just like a small child, if he does not open his mouth to eat, the mother has to give various kinds of, you know, excuses so that it opens his mouth, make him laugh or make him moan, anything by which the mouth will open, and then put the pill or put the food. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam uses many different types of analogies, stories, Vedic references, so that the ultimate story can be understood very nicely. All the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are ultimately arranged so that one takes the ultimate shelter of the Ashraya. Shukdev Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following. The creation of the universe, the sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of the Manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the Samam Bonam. Sarga. Sarga is now, as this chapter begins, the first verse gives us a summary of what are the 10 topics. But in the later 7 verses, till the 7th verse, Shukdev Goswami defines what all is described and what is the meaning of each word. Prabhupada does not give any purport to this first verse, because all the verses will be, all the meanings will be detailedly described in another verses. The second verse describes Dashamasya Vishuddhya Artham Navanam Ihalakshanam Varnayanti Mahatmanah Shrutendrithena Onjasa. To isolate the transcendence of the Samam Bonam, the symptoms of the rest are described sometimes by Vedic inference, sometimes by indirect explanation, and sometimes by summary explanations given by great sages. Just so that you can understand the transcendence, understand the importance of the 10th canto, the explanation given in another 9 cantos, another 11 cantos, is described by Vedic inferences, sometimes by direct explanation, by stories, and sometimes by summaries described by great sages. Text 3 gives us the definition of Sarga and Visarga. Bhuta Matrendriya Dhyam Janma Sarga Udaharita Brahmano Guna Veshamyat Visargaha Paurushaha Smrita. Sarga means the primary creation of 16 primary elements by the Lord. The first creation that He makes, and Visarga is the sub-creation. In the first creation, the 5 gross elements, the 5 senses, the sense objects, or the sense perceptions, 5 senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, and the total material energy is created. And that is described very in detail in the first, second, and third cantos. And then, the Visarga is Brahmaji, Brahmano, as we see in the verse, Brahmano Guna Vaishamyad. And according to the gunas received by Lord Brahma, and what He creates as His power received by Lord Brahma, that is called as Visarga. Just as in Brahma Samhita, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport,
यह कारणान वजले भजति स्म योगा निद्रामनंत जगदंड सरोमकूप आधार शक्तिम अवलंब्य पराम समूर्तिम गोविंदमादि पुरुषम तमहम भजामि. द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज लाइंग एज महाविष्णु इन द कॉजल ओशंस एंड देयर फ्रॉम द पोर्स ऑफ हिज बॉडी यूनिवर्सेस आर जनरेटेड. द एलिमेंट्री एलिमेंट्स आर जनरेटेड एंड देन लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा हु ग्रोज आउट ऑफ द नेवल of Mahavishnu, in the Garbhodaka ocean, inside the universes, where the Lord Brahma is created through a lotus, then he starts his secondary creation with the help of the material energy. Then, in this particular verse, the text 3, Prabhupada mentions a very important point. He says that anybody, a fool, might understand whenever he sees this material world, he inferences that this material world is made by nature. But to understand that this material world is created by Supreme Lord, Sukadeva Goswami in detail gives Vedic references. And that is, Prabhupada says, without such Vedic reference, the creation appears to be a product of material nature. This conclusion comes from a poor fund of knowledge. From Vedic inferences, it is concluded that the origin of all three energies is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the next verse, Sthanam, Poshanam, Manvantar, and the descriptions of Manus is described. Sthitir Vaikunta Vijayaha, Poshanam Tad Anugraha, Manvantarani Saddharma, Utayaha, Karma Po. The right situation for the living entity is to obey the laws of the Lord, and thus he is perfect, in perfect peace of mind under the protection of Supreme Lord. The Manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life, and the impetus of activity is the desire for fruitive work. Sthanam, that is, this topic gives you details of how the Lord maintains this universe. That is, how his energies are working. What is the method of the maintenance? And then, the portion, that is, the special position of the devotee, and how Krishna manifests his protection to his devotees, and how he reciprocates with his devotees. Just as we see, any verse you take from Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you classify them in these topics, they'll properly fit like gems in a proper necklace. But this necklace is to glorify the beautiful form of the Lord. Similarly, all these topics, as we see, will ultimately lead to the glorification of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Then, utaha, that is urge to create. The concept of time and application, all details of how the creation happens, what is the urge of creation, how does the living entity desire, and what happens further. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the desire to go back to Godhead and functions performed in that direction form the right path of work. Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijayaha. Vaikuntha Vijayaha. The Lord of the Vaikuntha. If somebody understands the creation of the Lord, how the nature is working, and works according in harmony with the nature, that is the ultimate success of a person. Vaikuntha Vijayaha. That is the Vijay of the Vaikuntha, of the Vaikunthana. That is, he wants his living entities to come back to him by following the path and the laws given by him. Then, if they follow, what happens? He provides them poshanam. He provides them protection, provides them nutrition, so that they can follow the path properly. And then, description of manus and the laws given by them. These are the devotees of the Lord who help to expand the creation, who help to lay down rules so that the mankind or the living entities who have taken birth in the material world can go back to Godhead properly by following their occupational duties. and then utayaha, or the urge to create the universe. Sadharma or duty, Srila Prabhupada mentions, or duty performed for going back to Godhead and thus becoming his unalloyed devotee is the only pious activity. All other may pretend to be pious, but actually they are not. Sadharma, the pious activity of a living entity is to go back to Godhead. Because he desired, thus the Lord has to create. But he has created in a further purport. The Lord says that the material, it should always, Prabhupada says, it should always be remembered that the material creation is meant for the salvation of the conditioned souls. The Lord had no other purpose but to salvate his living entities who have rebelled against him. For that, the whole material creation is understood. Otherwise, until and unless we know the purpose of the creation, the working of the creation, one will end up only doing sense gratification in this material world. Unless he understands that the whole working of the material world is to frustrate him and to lead him back to Godhead, it is difficult for the living entity to have any chance of liberation. Further in the text 5, avataranu charitam haris chasyanu vartinam pumsam ishakataha prokta anana khyano parbrahmitam. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Gopinath, tumi kripa parabara jivera karane asiya pravanche leela kaile subhastara. And just what different leelas the Lord makes, just to give his introduction, a trailer in between. The Lord, the whole Bhagavatam gives us detailed explanation or brief explanations of different avataras, their activities. Though the Prabhupada mentions, therefore the topics of the devotees and the Lord are to be given respectful and oral reception. Prabhupada says, Ishanu Kathanam not only means description of the activities of the Supreme Lord, but also the description and activities of his devotees. Then, in the text number 6, Nirodha Asyanu Sayanam Atmanaha Saha Shakti Bhi Muktir Hitva Yatha Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthiti. The merging of the living entities along with his conditioned living tendency and with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable gross and the subtle material bodies. Just as the Ishanu Katha has described, now a Nirodha, that is winding up or the annihilation as Mahavishnu lies and the souls lie in his body in a sleeping state. The annihilation also is mentioned. And then last is Mukti. All type of liberations are mentioned. Prabhupada mentions that how reading and hearing of transcendental literatures helps us become liberated even in the conditional state of material existence. The Vedic hymns inform everyone about the supreme source of all pleasure. The unlimited fountainhead of all pleasure is the supreme personality of Godhead. And one who is fortunate enough to get this information through transcendental literature of Srimad Bhagavatam becomes permanently liberated to occupy place in the kingdom of God. Not only understanding how the world works, but also performing action by which he goes back to Godhead, back to the supreme kingdom of the Lord. And then verse 7, Abhatascha Nirodhascha Yatosya Adhyavyavasya Siyate Saashraya Paramam Brahma Paramatmeti Shabdyate. The Supreme One who is celebrated as a supreme being or a supreme soul is the supreme source of cosmic manifestation as well as its reservoir and winding up. Thus, he is the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. The Supreme Lord explained in the first canto as Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdite. Here, Shrude Goswami is confirming that everything is meant to glorify the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. the Samam Bonam, which the 10th canto of course, which describes the pastimes of Lord Krishna in full. The Srimad Bhagavatam also is compared to different limbs of the Lord. The first and the second canto are compared to the lotus feet. The third canto is compared to the waist. The third and the fourth canto are compared to thighs. The fifth canto is compared to the waist. The sixth canto is compared to chest. And the seventh and eighth canto to the two strong arms of the Lord. The ninth canto is compared to the neck of the Lord. The tenth canto is the smiling face of the Lord. And the 11th canto is the forehead. And the 12th canto, the beautiful crown of the Lord. So we are beginning to glorify the beautiful neck of the Lord. Kapil Muni, in the third canto, he gives instructions of what a yogi does for perfection. He says, Vaksho adhivasam rishabhasya mahavibhute pumsam manonayana nivritimadhadhanam kantham chakaustubamaner adibhushanartham kuryam manasakhila loka namaskritasya. He says that a yogi meditates on the beautiful chest of the Lord where the goddess of fortune resides. By meditating on the chest of the Lord, there is pleasure for mind and satisfaction of eyes. And then he imprints his mind on the beautiful neck of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada mentions that this neck, which is increasing the beauty of the Kaustubha gem that the Lord is wearing, the Lord wears beautiful pearl strings around his neck, and there is Kaustubha gem which hangs from his neck on the chest. This Kaustubha gem is a very valuable gem, but it increases the beauty, or it increases the beauty of itself when the Lord wears it. Bhushanam Bhushanangam. The value of that Bhushana, of the Abhushan, increases when the Lord wears it around his beautiful neck. Prabhupada mentions that in the Upanishads, the creation, maintenance and destruction is mentioned by the energy of the Lord. But all these energies, they reside on the chest of the Lord, because Mahalakshmi, who is the reservoir of all energies, she is residing on the chest of the Lord. And a yogi, if meditates on the beautiful chest of the Lord with a Shrivatsa mark, Prabhupada says that one can achieve material perfections, the eight siddhis. Then he says that when somebody beautifully glances on the beautiful neck of the Lord, just as our Gopichand Vallabha, he has beautiful neck with three lines, you know, distinct three lines which make him look very aristocratic. Many different poets have mentioned the beauty of the neck as very smooth, soft, and like conch shell. Just like Satyavad Muni in his Damodarashtakam mentions, Tri Rekhanka Kantha, just like a Kambu Kantham, or a Kantha like Kambu, a conch shell. But how do we meditate? Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that how do we meditate on the form of the Lord or the neck of the Lord? He says that a yogi, being advanced in his meditation, can meditate in mind. But less advanced devotees have to go to temple and take shelter of the deities. And that meditation is non-different than meditation of a yogi. The only problem is that the yogi, wherever he sits, anytime, any place, he can meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord. But for a neophyte, he has to go to the temple and take the darshan of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says that there is one more method to meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord, and that is by hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And by hearing and chanting, although the mention is of a yogi who meditates on Paramatma, Srila Prabhupada in the end, the last line mentions that although the yogis meditate or follow the ninefold process, and they follow one, that is Smaranam, but the Bhakti Yogis enjoy hearing and chanting. The hearing and chanting, as the bhakti yogis enjoy it, by enjoying the divine neck or the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this book called as Krishna Kathamrit, Madhavananda Prabhu has mentioned a topic named as Dangers of Srimad Bhagavatam. A very beautiful article where he mentions that what are the dangers of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, just as we are saying, meditate on Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the dangers of Srimad Bhagavatam? He starts with the Chaitanya Shiksha, where Lord Chaitanya is mentioning to Rupa Goswami, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtana Bhagavata Shravana Mathura Vasa Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevan Sakala Sadhana Shrestai Panchanga Krishna Prema Janmayai Panchera Alpa Sangha. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside in Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. These five limbs of devotional service are best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. King Kulashekar mentions in the Mukundamala Stotra, Jeevhe kirtaya keshava muraripu cheto bhaja shridharam pani dvandva samarchaya chuta katha shrotvam dvayam tam shunu krishnam lokaya lochana dvaya harer gachhangri yugamalayam jigra ghrana mukunda pada tulasim murdhanna madhukshajam. He's saying, O beautiful tongue, chant the beautiful names of Lord. Jivhe kirtaya keshava muraripu cheto bhaja shridharam. With a full mind and concentration, worship the beautiful form of Sridhara. Pani dvandva samarchaya chuta katha. And use your legs. Pani dvandva samarchaya chuta katha shrotvam doyam tam shunu. He's saying that one should use their ears to hear that beautiful form of the Lord. Samarchaya chuta katha. And then Krishnam lochaya, lochana dvaya harer. He's saying that eyes should be used to see the form of the beautiful Lord. Gachhangri yugamalayam, those dvandva panis should be used to go to the beautiful temple of the Lord. Jigra ghrana mukunda pada tulasim, and with this mouth taste the beautiful tulasi. Jigra ghrana mukunda pada tulasim murdhan namadhokshajam, and with this head bow down. So Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Nectar of Devotion, mentions that what is the glory of these five limbs. He's saying, Anganam panchakasyascha purva vilikhitasyascha nikhila shretya bodhaya punar apya atra samsanam. The glorification of these five items and their association with devotees chanting in holy name and so on is to make known the complete superiority of these five practices of devotional service. He's saying that it is less to glorify these five items, because one should know that these five items are superior items of devotional service. If one follows with full attention, can awaken bhava. And further verses, he says, that is 1.2.238 to 240, he gives us very beautiful glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam and these limbs. He's saying, Durhadbhutavirye
esmin shraddha durestu panchake yatra svalpopi sambandha saddhiyam bhava janmane.
These last five practices have such extraordinary and incomprehensible power that what to speak of having absolute faith in them, even a little practice of them can grant love for Krishna in the pure heart of a devotee. Then he mentions the famous verse, Smeram bhangi traya pancharitam sachivistirna drishtim vamshina stadhara kishalayam mujvalam chandrakena govindakhyam haritanum itaha keshi tirthopakante ma prekshishthas tava jadi sakhe bandhumag stri rangaha. My dear friend, If you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the banks of Yamuna at Keshighat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlit.
Shankenitaha shabadi dashamaskandha padyavalina varanaha karna dhunipati kathamanu purvyad bhavabdhi hamhodimbha paramasukadam hant dharmartha kama yad garhantam sukhamayam ami moksham ap akshintam.
He's saying, you foolish children, it seems that you have let the syllables of 10th canto verses enter the pathway of your ears. Why else would you show such profound aversion for the most auspicious goals of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, and also deride the supremely blissful state of liberation? Srila Jiva Goswami mentions, he's saying that to praise somebody, there are two ways. One is a positive way and one is a negative way. This negative way, by glorifying negatively, that is called as Vyaja Stuti. This is, in the Sanskrit grammar, Aprastuta Prashamsa Alankar. He's saying that, although he's saying that one should not see the beautiful form of the Lord, that increases the glorification of the form of the beautiful Lord and what is the importance of having darshan of the beautiful Lord. That if one sees that, one will lose all attachment to the material world and be attracted intensely towards the beautiful lotus feet of Shri Krishna. And then also he mentions, you know, there is a sarcastic mention. Jiva Goswami says that, you know, all blissful and all auspicious goals, you know, in the next verse where he mentions the people who watch Krishna as small children. He's saying that, what is the use of your watching him, because you've forgotten the supreme blissful and auspicious goals of karma, dharma, artha, and moksha. He's saying that, how you forgotten this? He's saying that by this, he has demeaned the goals of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And one more, Acharya, he mentions that the word dimbha, or just as the persons who read Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, are mentioned as dimbha here, it means that even if somebody has preliminary faith and just allows the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam to go through his ears, that also will have effect. Just like small children, they don't understand the meaning, but just by listening, they grasp some things. Similarly, even if somebody has preliminary faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, that will change his life. The next, he says that the verse mentions Karna Dhavani Pathikam, which means people who travel on the path of the ears, which means they're not listening attentively, inadvertently or superficially. Still the effect is there. Such is the glory. And there he says, we have denounced moksha, which means if somebody who denounces moksha, that is the beginning of bhava. Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur gives a very beautiful commentary. He says that the phrase Varana Eva Karana Dhavani Patikam, which means the sound alone enters. Just the sound, not the meaning. Just by entering of sound, one denounces the goals of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. What if somebody actually understands the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam? What effect will that have on the beautiful? Then the life of that person who gives an oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam with attentiveness and full concentration, that his life is bound to change. Then, Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, which is described as the beautiful neck of the Lord. You know, Srila Kaviraj Goswami, he explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the beautiful necklace of pearls around the neck of the Lord, he's saying, Muktahara Bakapanti. Bakapanti means these beautiful necklaces of the Lord are like beautiful, you know, white ducks who are assembled at the neck of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada mentions there that a person wears something to the neck which is very precious. The two kind of living entities, one Krishna conscious and one who avoid Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says that a person who wears a necklace around his neck, he wears the most precious one. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord are the precious pearls which hold the beautiful necklace, which hold the position of a pearl at the beautiful neck of the Lord. They are the beautiful white strings of pearls which increase the beauty of the Lord, and the Lord in reciprocation increases their beauty. So just as we glorify the supreme neck of the Lord, the beautiful neck of the Lord is called Bhagavatam. Similarly, these pearls or the devotees who are provided supreme protection, if anybody has a beautiful jewel in his neck, he will do anything to provide, Normally, I was told that whenever people went to Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra, taking the advantage of the crowd, there are a lot of thieves there. So people remove their necklaces and keep them in the, safe so that it is not stolen. Similarly, the Lord sees to it that He protects His devotees who are like the strings of pearls, who are very beautiful, who are around His neck, the Bhagavatas, who are deeply immersed in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. One of such Bhagavatas was Sri Rasikananda Prabhu, whose life was embodiment of glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. From his birth, Rasikananda Prabhu, he showed intense attachment and love for Srimad Bhagavatam. When, during his Annaprashan ceremony, after that ceremony, his father Achyutananda, he told the ladies to arrange that function. They arranged a plate, a knife, a palm leaf, and a plate full of fruits and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Rasikananda was told, "O Murari," his another name is Murari, "please go and choose what the object of your liking." Rasikananda, at a certain tender age, with tearful eyes, he looked at Srimad Bhagavatam, went there, picked up Srimad Bhagavatam and clasped it to his chest. And since then, Rasikananda Prabhu always meditated on the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. In his plays, he used to only enact the pastimes of the Lord with his friends. And he used to play so much that he forgot his eating and hearing. So the father said, "Enough of playing. Whatever you want, I'll arrange in-house. No more playing." So he said, "Yes, I've arranged for me recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam." And Achyutananda had to employ Brahmanas to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Such amazing. Rasikananda Prabhu is said to be the incarnation of Aniruddha, the son of the Lord. Then the detailed explanation is given. This is all, the name of the book is Rasika Mangal. What is it? The book written by his disciple Gopichand Vallabhadasa. There he mentions the different chapters where Rasikananda Prabhu is enjoying the pastimes of Krishna, and then very soon he starts preaching, where Rasikananda Prabhu was a very mysterious preacher, where he subdued a mad elephant, and very mystical pastimes. And in one such pastime, when Rasikananda Prabhu was traveling with his devotees into a boat crossing a river, although the river was turbulent, still Rasikananda Prabhu said, "If you have faith in the Lord, why not cross?" So all of them, they went on the boat, and just as the boat came in the middle of the ocean, the waves became so turbulent that it toppled, it capsized the whole boat, and everybody was in waters. But Rasikananda Prabhu had told them, "Have faith on Krishna." And just as when they were there in the deep waters of the river, they saw that suddenly they were standing on their knees. The water was only knee deep. The whole river, it is said that in the center of the river, the 20 feet bamboo also could not stand. It is more deeper than that. But because of Rasikanand Prabhu, they were standing only knee deep. And then the people on the other side of the river, they were very aghast to see the whole boat capsized. And they sent other boats, but they saw that these people are standing. But Rasikanand Prabhu was more concerned about his copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was looking frantically, where is Srimad Bhagavatam? He sent his disciple to look for Srimad Bhagavatam. They looked everywhere and they found a very iron, very heavy iron case. They thought the Srimad Bhagavatam was found. When the casing was opened, everything was there except Srimad Bhagavatam. Rasikanand Prabhu became very despair. He said, where is Srimad Bhagavatam? And then his devotees, when they saw that he himself might jump, many others followers went and swam across. They took a boat. Rasikanand Prabhu said, you take a boat and go and see. And they located Srimad Bhagavatam. But by all of them, the Bhagavatam could not be lifted. So many people tried to lift those papers, but they could not lift those papers. Finally, Rasikanand Prabhu himself had to go in a boat and he carried those papers just like a beautiful bunch of flowers, a very light bunch of flowers. He just lifted them and got them. One of the very famous compositions of Sri Rasikananda Prabhu is Sri Sri Bhagavata Ashtakam. There he mentions the glorification of not only Bhagavatam, but the devotees of Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatas. He mentions, Shri Govinda Padaravinda Madhupa Anya Bhailashe Jita Purna Prema Rasat Savojvala Mano Vritti Prasannananan Shashvat Krishna Katha Mahamrit Payo Rasau Muda Khelato Vande Bhagavatani Mamanulavam Murdhnani Patyakshito. I always pray and offer obeisances to all Bhagavatas who are like honeybees, who are enjoying the nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda Dev, who have renounced everything and absorbed in the beautiful unalloyed devotion of the Lord, who take bliss and satisfaction only in glorifying the Supreme Lord, whose face is illusion by beautiful prema, and who are enjoying the nectar or enjoying swimming in the nectar which is churned out of a Krishna Katha. Beautiful, there are more 9 verses. So the beautiful composition of Lord of Rasikananda Prabhu. So just as the neck, the necklace, you see we advertising so many necklaces around the whole city. But that necklace will only be glorified when it is worn on the Supreme and a beautiful Lord of the neck, the Supreme Lord. So similarly, we are like that necklace. Although we have so many beautiful qualities, but until unless we follow the path of the Bhagavatas and adorn the beautiful neck of the Lord, we have no other hope. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.